Well, welcome to Treasures of Faith. As you all know, this is a local production of Divine Mercy Radio. I'm your host, Bill Gent. Thank you for joining me today, and I am joined by Jeff Noose, and he is the Executive Director of Daily Bread. Jeff, welcome back to Treasures of Faith. It's been a little while.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bill. Glad to be here talking with you.
Well, for our listeners, some of them may not be familiar with Daily Bread, but it's been in existence for, what, almost 30 years now?
Yeah, 37 years.
Wow, doesn't seem possible.
Yeah, that's right. It's a great legacy of service to the needy in our community that yes. We get to shepherd.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And the variety of services that you offer, everyone's aware of the homeless situation in this country. We can talk about different aspects of it. But the fact that Daily Bread, maybe you could share a little bit about its beginning mm-hmm. and how it has grown over the years here in the Melbourne area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Daily Bread started as a soup kitchen with some parishioners from Our Lady of Lourdes in Melbourne mm-hmm. that worked to address the basic need that they saw, which was hunger. And so on January 1st, 1988, they made a big pot of chili and served 14 people.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
And now over the years, we've grown really by adding resources as we look at the people that we're serving. What are their needs? Mm-hmm. Added showers, added a food distribution center so that we can address hunger in our community in a broader way. So right now we support 35 local food banks. Mm. But then I came to Daily Bread about 7 years ago now. And at that point, we made a shift, which was to say, what's the real need of the people who are homeless that we're serving? And it's the need for housing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I know that, you know, you're familiar with the various encampments of homeless people. I mean, it's across the country. You know, we have this issue. And for many of these folks, I mean, they come from various places of pain and disappointment, of course, there's always the problem of substance abuse. There's always the problem of, one of the things, I'm from the Vietnam generation, so I know that one of the tragedies that has befallen our country is, of course, what happened during the Vietnam War and how I knew guys that came back and they were actually spit upon by people. You know, the rejection that they experienced coming back from a foreign war just totally changed their view, not only of their own country, but of their own personal lives. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm certain that you've encountered ex-Vietnam War veterans that just have never recovered mm-hmm. From what happened. I mean, you're talking, 50 years ago
right.
or so, which is so tragic.
Mm-hmm.
These encampments, Jeff, I know you're familiar with them. What's the approach of, you know, the local authorities mm-hmm. when it comes to dealing with these kind of situations?
Well, I'm glad you brought up mm-hmm. veterans. Because that's actually one of the bright spots in the homeless story. You're right, homelessness is a challenge throughout the country, and we see it in our local community really more and more as the housing crisis tightens.
Yes.
And there's just very little available housing,
mm-hmm.
certainly little available affordable housing. But veterans, there's been a lot of resources put toward veteran homelessness in the last, I'd say, 10 years or so, where we made a commitment to overcome some of that stigma
yeah.
From the Vietnam era mm-hmm. when veterans were sadly disregarded,
yes.
to say, if you've served our country, we're going to do what we can to get you off the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And if we encounter somebody in an encampment or who's coming to Daily Bread who's a veteran, right away we reach out to our partners at the VA mm-hmm. and say, you got to come and talk to so-and-so. And knowing that Darla's one of our great partners at the VA, she'll come and meet with that person.
Mm.
And it can happen very quickly
mm.
for somebody who's a veteran who's homeless to get off the street.
So there's a very much an effort to have a personal approach.
That's right.
Not just a one-size-fits-all or what have you, which is sometimes what has always been been an issue for dealing with the veterans.
Yeah, it's absolutely necessary. Everybody's homeless experience is different. And you need to kind of roll up your sleeves and talk to that person and help them strategize to how they might overcome their situation with our help. So that's something called housing-focused street outreach. Mm. And that's something that we've been focusing on over the last few years and deepening now. So, you know, there's a lot of rumors right now about Daily Bread and some questions about whether it's closing or not.
Yes, we've heard those rumors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and people are talking about it. But, you know, I'm glad you've come to visit with us to kind of let our listeners know what's exactly mm-hmm. happening as we speak.
So I think a better word for what's happening in our organization is we're in the midst of a transformation. So we have realized that housing is the real solution to homelessness. Mm. And when people come to Daily Bread, you know, they appreciate the meal and they're happy to get a shower. But what they're really coming for is to have that conversation about how to overcome their homeless situation. Mm. So often they'll say, I want to talk to Vidya or I want to talk to Joel. I want to have that conversation with a case manager that's going to help me find a housing solution. So we've realized, especially with this housing market, that nobody's going to provide this housing, especially targeted to people coming out of homelessness, unless we do.
Yeah.
So we have this great plan. It's a beautiful plan for a place called Providence Place, mm-hmm. 119 unit of affordable housing directly set for people coming out of homelessness.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a huge undertaking.
Yeah, it'll be very impactful. Not just affordable housing. A lot of other organizations are doing affordable housing, and I'm thrilled. You know, we need more and more of that.
Yes.
But this is going to be targeted to people coming off the streets with the resources that they'll need to be successful in that housing. So you talked about mental health issues and substance use issues. I mean, those are real in the homeless community. There's a lot of trauma in the background, mm-hmm. you know, that post-traumatic stress syndrome that veterans experience. Mm-hmm. Homeless people, as a rule, are experiencing because of the trauma of living on the street, and mm-hmm. for many of them, the trauma that goes back into their upbringing. So we want to establish Providence Place with a real culture of recovery, that people can come there and find the healing and strength and education that they need to move forward in their lives, not just with housing, but with all those other resources as well.
I think, Jeff, too, and I'm sure you've clearly realized this, that you can't do this by yourself. You know, that it's not just Daily Bread setting up, like you said, it began as a soup kitchen. You can't just kind of do that and somehow think that you're going to make a whole lot of difference outside of just giving people food for a day. You know, this is a bigger issue that requires lots of organizations. And what's been amazing to me over the years that I've lived here in Brevard County is there are lots of organizations. There are lots of good social networks or what have you. It's trying to get them to work together. And then, of course, you got the issue of the funding and, you know, being able to avail yourself of various federal grants or state grants or what have you. And they all have, you know, their, you know, particulars that you have to follow or whatever. It seems like it's a very difficult road to navigate. And yet, what you've been able to do, I think, over the years is be able to kind of work together in a more effective way to really help those who are on the street.
You're right. That's the only way that we can address this challenge. I mean, homelessness is such a complicated challenge that has so many factors in it. It's the kind of challenge mm-hmm. that can only be addressed when the whole community comes together. Mm-hmm. And that's happening here mm-hmm. in Brevard mm-hmm. in ways that I find very encouraging. We have the Brevard Homeless Coalition, which is a wonderful network that pulls together the various agencies mm-hmm. to make sure we're working in sync mm-hmm. and filling the gaps and kind of covering all the bases. But here in Melbourne, we have a great partnership with the city. Mm. So, you know, our relationship with the city has its ups and downs
over the years. Yes.
But right now, I would say it's at a strong point. Mm. The city of Melbourne is investing $3 million in mm. Providence Place. It's a very important seed gift for us to build the foundation of our capital to accomplish this endeavor. And they also support us in other ways. We have annual funding from the city of Melbourne for professional street outreach workers. And not to mention the support that we have from churches and other organizations, in addition to some federal funding that, we have. But for the most part, our funding comes from families and individuals in our community that, support this mission. So that legacy of service and consideration for the people in need in our community is something that we're carrying on very intentionally. And that's going to mean some changes to our daily operations. So on May 9th, we will be closing the Outreach Center on Fee Avenue and shifting to a mobile model of street outreach, where our professional street outreach workers will go out into the community to meet with people experiencing homelessness, to have those key conversations, to, roll up their sleeves and strategize on overcoming their homeless situation. But we're also going to continue to provide for basic needs. Now it'll be in more of a, scattered site model. We're partnering with different churches and agencies to be there with this partner we have called Streetside Showers, a mobile shower unit, and to partner with a, community meal, and then to have our mobile office there. You can see it already at Coastline Community Church on O'Galley. We're there from 1 to 3 on Thursdays. They have a community meal that serves their, parishioners, but also people that are homeless can, come and enjoy that meal. Then our Streetside Showers are there, and our, mobile outreach van, which is like a mobile office for our social workers. And soon we're going to be adding a, food truck trailer operation that, can come and bring that meal. So churches have responded beautifully to step up and say, how can we help? And so right now we've lined up three, and we're looking at two more sites that we hope to be active every day of the week, serving people with food and showers.
Now, so the location on Fee Avenue is going to close completely at that point, and then you're going to be moving into this mobile kind of situation. And so, and my thought has always been, okay, if Daily Bread is going to relocate, it's going to have to relocate in a place that's accessible. In other words, if you move it way out in nowhere's land, I mean, how are people going to access it if they don't have motor vehicles of some kind, or, you know, bus transportation or what have you? So in other words, you're kind of going to them now, more or less, to those who are in need. And of course, that's going to take a lot of, participation. And those who are out in the community, their willingness to make it available on their property, wherever the case may be. That's why I think churches are just a really important place to reach out to. Have you found that the community is responding positively to this new effort?
Yes, I've been pleasantly surprised at the number of churches that we've reached out to, but who have reached out to us to say we'd love to have this at our place. And the rhythm of service is important. So we're shifting from Daily Bread on Fee Avenue, where we have a meal every day of the week. Because, and so we're shifting from that to a once a week model. When we're at a location, we'll be there once a week. So it's consistent, it's regular, but it's infrequent. We've learned that that's a helpful rhythm. So if we're, you know, you can find us at Coastline on Thursdays. You know, you can find us at this other church on Wednesdays. We're always there on Wednesdays. You can find us there. What that does is provide stability without dependence. There's a danger when you're in the same place every day of providing a kind of semi-stability that can allow somebody to get stuck in their homeless situation. And they just kind of live around there and hang around there and wait for the next day to come. One of the great strengths of, somebody who's facing the challenge of homelessness is their resilience and flexibility. We want to, take advantage of that resource and help them keep that forward momentum. I talked to a man this morning about, you know, what's going to happen when we close on Fee Avenue, and, where we're going to be. And he was very matter-of-fact about it. It's like, okay, you'll be there? Okay, great. I can work with that. I'll see you there. Our folks are, very resilient, and, we want to be careful to give them what they need that will also help them move forward. So every encounter with somebody who's homeless, we're keeping in the back of our minds this question. What can we do to help you overcome your homeless situation mm-hmm. and find stability in housing? Mm-hmm. We'll help you meet your basic needs, yeah. but the goal is always getting out of homelessness.
Forward, yeah.
That's right.
Jeff, how you know, you have various clients. What's the average length of time that you find? If I, maybe this is a really difficult question, but you know, do you see clients that have been there for 4 or 5 years? I mean, what's the length of time mm-hmm. that you generally see those clients on a regular basis?
So that's a really good question, and it's helpful for people who think about homelessness and maybe see people who are homeless on the street and kind of wonder about that. So the vast majority of people who become homeless, so if you see 100 people become homeless, 80% of people who become homeless overcome that in less than a week. Yep.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. If you think about if something happened to you in your circumstances, God forbid, and you found yourself losing your housing, you'd probably go with a family member or a friend mm-hmm. that could help you stabilize, and then you're able to move forward. Mm-hmm. And the next significant population, it takes about a month or within 6 months that you mm-hmm. can overcome yourself. There's about 10% of people who fall into the situation of homelessness that you might say gets stuck. Mm. And that group of people needs more resources. Mm. So we do have those folks at Daily Bread, and we've learned over the years to really focus our attention on them who need more help.
Yeah.
The other folks might we want to give them the chance to move forward on their own, because they likely will.
Sure.
Not to develop again that relationship of dependency.
Yep.
Let them move forward. We'll help them a little bit if we need to. But then let's focus our efforts on that person who you might say is stuck in a homeless situation to help them find success in housing.
What do you discover is the major reasons why people get stuck, would you say? I mean, you might have alluded to them already, but what do you find is a very common denominator there?
The first thing is income. I mean, housing is really expensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the rate of inflation and the rate of housing increases, mm-hmm. it's incredible. I think it's affecting most families.
Yes,
I mean,
it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have friends and family members who are facing that crisis themselves, maybe people that are renting and that would love to buy a home but just can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel fortunate. I bought a home when I did, mm-hmm. and I couldn't afford it now.
Yeah.
So that price of housing and availability of housing is the number one reason. Mm. And then if somebody doesn't have, so say if you have Social Security disability income, which many of our folks do, you're getting about $900 or $1,000 a month.
Mm.
Can you find an apartment to rent for $600 a month?
No.
So you really need three things in that circumstance. You need maybe some case management to help you face the challenges you're facing. You need a rental subsidy. Mm-hmm. To help to pay down what your rent would be. We've got a partnership with the Housing Authority to provide those. But you also need an available place.
Yeah.
So we were We were providing the first two and making quite a great amount of success in housing. My first few years at Daily Bread, we housed over 400 people.
Mm-hmm.
But when the housing market tightened, we lost that third element. So we could have all the great case management and all the great rental subsidies that we needed, but if you don't have available units, where are people going to go? And that's why Providence Place.
Mm. Well, you're listening to Treasures of Faith. I'm joined by Jeff Noose. He's the executive director of Daily Bread. He's been there for 7 years now. Jeff, what is the average cost of a basic apartment? Is it mm-hmm. is it well over $1,000 a month, would you say? Or
yes, in our area it's about
$1,400 for one bedroom apartment.
You'd be lucky to find that.
Wow.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. So that's a real issue. So if someone is only getting $800-$900 a month, let alone they got to buy food, if they want transportation, the cost of vehicles. I mean, mm-hmm. there are so many aspects here. Employment is another issue. And so it appears that there are plenty of jobs. But one of the problems usually is, you know, do these individuals meet the requirements that are necessary to be employed? And then also transportation is a whole mm-hmm. other issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that certainly fits into the equation of facing this challenge of homelessness. And that's where having a roof over your head makes such a difference. A lot of the folks that are coming to Daily Bread are working, but they're working at day labor. You know, so that's, you know, daily work for daily pay means you show up at 5:30 in the morning and hope to get a job that day, and you get paid that day. When you're homeless and you don't really know where you're sleeping for sure tonight, it's hard to get a two-week schedule at a regular job and kind of plan ahead for that. You don't know where you're going to be necessarily a week from now with any kind of confidence. And so you rely on the day labor. When somebody moves into Providence Place or any kind of housing situation, our next step is to work with them on all these other things. But improving income is a big one. Mm-hmm. If you have a job, can we help you get a better job? Mm-hmm. If you have a disability that means you can't work, can we help you get Social Security disability if you don't have it already? Mm-hmm. But having that roof over your head is an important first step.
Now, I understand that getting Social Security, for a lot of these folks is a very difficult way to try. I mean, in other words, they can apply. I've heard that if people first apply, they're always rejected, you know. And then, of course, for many, they feel as if, well, if I can't afford an attorney and, you know, be able to afford a retainer, let alone for the attorney to really battle for me, it's almost impossible. Are there ways that people can get Social Security disability through something that you're involved with or mm-hmm. something in the community that mm-hmm. would be helpful to them?
Yeah, it's a tremendous bureaucracy to have to wade through.
I can imagine.
And if you're doing it on your own and you don't have a computer and you don't have a reliable phone, it can be just tremendously frustrating.
Yes.
So we have caseworkers that work with people to help them get their Social Security. And we have one who's being especially trained in something called SOAR, which is a kind of fast track for people in greatest need who need to get access to Social Security. Mm. And we talked earlier about the whole community coming together to address homelessness. We've got a great Social Security office here in Melbourne on NASA.
Yeah.
And those folks, we've got a great connection there mm-hmm. and can call and talk to a real person mm-hmm. to help us deal with these challenges.
Mm-hmm. How, you know, and this may seem like a strange question, but if someone is homeless, they don't have a computer or a phone, how do they access their funds? I mean, they establish a bank account? Do you kind of help them with all of these kinds? Are there some banks that are willing to work mm-hmm. with you? Because I'm sure a lot of banks would say, yeah, $500 a month. We're not dealing with the small mm-hmm. potatoes mm-hmm. here, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's another issue. I mean, mm-hmm. these are things that people don't think about. Mm-hmm. How do you work through all of that?
Mm-hmm. We found that many of the banks in our community are happy to work with people with financial literacy and education, and they're happy to work with our folks to get them established mm-hmm. in a bank account. And we often have helped people do that. There's also a government program that provides a card where you can get your Social Security disability on a card. Mm-hmm. So we help people get those. We help people replace them when they're lost and things like
imagine.
That.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. or stolen or
that's
whatever
right.
the case
that's
may
right.
be.
Mm-hmm.
What about, like, I mean, everybody kind of has to have a phone today. Are there programs out there that provide mm-hmm. phones for folks that can't afford a $1,400 iPhone.
Yeah, phones have become a necessity, that's
yes.
for sure.
Yeah.
And so there is a government program where if you qualify based on economic need, and the one that we use the most is if you get food stamps, mm-hmm. then you qualify for a government program to get a phone. And so we help people apply for that program as well. Mm. They used to call them Obama phones. That tells you how long that's been.
Yeah.
They don't call them Trump phones
now.
But they've been around for a long time.
So necessities. I mean, who would have ever thought you'd have to have a cell phone just to survive? But mm-hmm. it really is the case, or what have you. Now, you talk about the city of Melbourne has been very helpful up to this point. So when you close the facility, that's going to happen May 9th, you suggested?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so May 9th that closes. That property, who owns the property?
So we own the property outright.
Okay.
And we will sell that property because we need those funds for Providence Place.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure. And you're already working with architects or all mm-hmm. of those that are necessary for developing Providence Place. do you have any idea? I mean, location is going to be a huge issue. I don't know if you want to mention anything about that.
Certainly.
What's maybe in the works, but...
No, our plans are well on the way. And we've acquired a property with one of our partners on Apollo Boulevard.
Okay.
So it's between NASA and Babcock.
Oh, yes.
And it used to be a car dealership.
I was going to say there was a car dealership there.
Mm-hmm. So that's it's a great location for us to redevelop that property. And they had talked about putting a different kind of housing development there years ago. It kind of fell through, I think, probably during COVID days. And so that it's very suitable for a housing development. And I want to be clear to any of your listeners who might be kind of concerned about impact on the neighborhood. One of the important aspects to know about Providence Place is that all of the resources that we're talking about that will be helpful to residents will only be available to residents. We won't have any services on Providence Place to people that are currently homeless.
Mm.
We'll meet those people who are homeless out at our mobile outreach sites in the streets and in the woods, wherever we need to find them. But at Providence Place, all the services, all the amenities will be for the residents. And the reason for that, I mean, it is a benefit to the community, but the reason for that is to help stabilize that person who's come out of homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest challenges in that initial stability is making that distinction for people that are homeless and people that are housed. You know, maybe you've been friends with somebody on the street and there's a rainy day and they want to come and stay at your place for a night or two, and it's hard to say no.
Yeah.
So we'll help people to say no, that I'm sorry, this is for residents of Providence Place.
Yeah.
And then they will stabilize in their housing situation.
Mm. Oh, that would be amazing. Is there any forecast about timing here? I mean, is this going to be like a 3-year, 4-year, 5-year project before it becomes a reality?
Yeah, let's talk 2 years.
2 years.
So our goal is to break ground in the fall. The plans are coming together nicely. The financing is coming together as well. We have to complete that process over the summer. But if we can break ground in the fall, construction should take a year and a half or up to 2 years. So we hope to open in 2027.
Mm. So you're talking about a 4 or 5-story building.
Four stories.
Wow. And is there already something there on the footprint that has to be raised or... demolished before you move forward, or
just concrete?
Okay,
just a concrete pad.
It's just that's all that's there.
Yep.
Wow, that's simply amazing. You know, and we're going to have to take a break here in a couple of minutes, but I want to talk to you about maybe what you have learned about how other communities around the country. I'm sensing that maybe this is a model that has been used in other places. Maybe we can talk about that. But I think it's important that the city of Melbourne has been working with you in order to alleviate this this issue that you've had. And it's kind of interesting, as I was thinking about what you were sharing about people getting stuck, this sounds like a really good way to move forward and to help people, especially those that do get stuck, to find a way forward. Jeff, would you say, we just got about a minute and a half here, families sometimes find themselves, do you see a lot of families showing up at Daily Bread, or is it usually individuals?
It's usually individuals or couples. There's something that happens with a family. You look at that parental motivation.
Yeah.
When there are children involved, the community activates, the families activate, let's make sure these children aren't on the streets.
Yeah.
And that's been gratifying to see that power of love that can overcome homelessness with that parental concern.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some great organizations in our community that are there to help families
also.
As well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, again, where working together with these other organizations and figuring out how we best deal with many of these situations can be so very helpful. No doubt about it. Well, you've been there 7 years, so you really have learned a lot over that time, which has led you, I think, to really kind of spearhead this new effort. So, well, we're going to take a break, Jeff, for just a couple of minutes here. But on the other side of the break, I want to talk further about Providence Place, but also some of these other models that may exist around the country. So So stay with us. I'm with Jeff Noose. He's the executive director of Daily Bread, and we'll be back in just a few moments. You're listening to Divine Mercy Radio, Melbourne Vero Beach. Well, welcome back to Treasures of Faith. I'm joined by Jeff Noose. He is the executive director of Daily Bread, has been the director there for 7 years now. And over that time, as we mentioned in the last half hour, he's learned a lot about the problem of the homeless in our area. And of course, what's complicated it at all is the lack of housing, the expense, because the whole goal of Daily Bread has been to move people out of homelessness into stable housing, into stable employment, and just a better overall situation for these individuals. And Jeff, I know that you announced here in the last half hour that Daily Bread will be closing this May 9th. So you're going to have to prepare your clients for this, which I know that you have been already doing. I want to ask the question about your staffing. You've been able to build a beautiful staff here over the last few years. Are you going to be able to retain them all? And how are they reacting to the news?
So that's an important question. That Daily Bread is closing our operation on Fee Avenue, but Daily Bread's not going away. Mm-hmm. We really are transforming, and that's not just, you know, colorful words. And the best indicator I have of that is that we're not laying anybody off. We've got a great 20-person team, and most of that team has grown during my time there by adding case managers, these folks that are really there to address somebody's homeless situation. And so all of these 20 people will be, some will be repurposed, some will be brought along doing the same work that they're doing at our warehouse distribution center, and then in our mobile outreach plan. We have a longstanding partnership with the Sharing Center on Hibiscus mm-hmm. Boulevard, and they've graciously welcomed us to share office space with them.
Oh, good.
So that will be forthcoming when we sell the property on Fee Avenue, or sometime this summer we'll make that move there as well.
Mm-hmm. What about with this transformation, are there any challenges with some of your major funders?
So most of our funders, the ones that we have long-term relationships with, are thrilled with what we're doing. These are folks who know what our mission is, who know what we've been trying to do to address it, and they're very happy we've brought them along the way. Mm. But I also want to be careful because as we've grown over these last several years, not everybody has kept up with every detail. Mm-hmm. And I'm really grateful for this opportunity to kind of talk through what's happening in our transformation, because that person out there who's supported Daily Bread for a long time, maybe they read about it in their church bulletin. I want to make sure they know what we're doing and why, mm-hmm. that we are responsible Yeah. to this legacy of supporting the people in greatest need in our community, mm-hmm. that these decisions aren't being taken lightly, Yeah. but with every intention of increasing our impact to address these needs.
Well, I think the why is very important, because I think for a lot of people, they kind of just kind of resign themselves to the idea, well, we're always going to have the homeless, which we always will. But at the same time, why keep doing the same thing over and over again? Why can't we look at other avenues of meeting needs and really helping people, give them a hand up rather than just a hand out? Mm-hmm. I mentioned on the before the break that there are some new initiatives around the country kind of addressing the homeless situation. Have you had the opportunity to look at other models, and has that kind of impacted the transformation that's taking place right now?
Yes. As you mentioned earlier, this is a challenge that's spread throughout the whole country, that everybody's facing this challenge of housing, and even throughout the world. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a good time for us to do a plan like Providence Place so that we can learn. Mm-hmm. Learn what works and, frankly, what doesn't work in other communities.
Yeah.
To find some models that were especially helpful. Clearwater was a great place for us to visit. About 2 years ago, we went to Clearwater to see what they're doing there and three different initiatives. And one that really stood out to us was something called HEP, the Homeless Empowerment Project.
Mm.
And what was beautiful there was housing in the midst of a neighborhood, housing for people coming out of homeless that fits seamlessly in a neighborhood without any adverse impact on the neighborhood. In fact, it was an asset to the community. Mm. And so that's really a model for us about how to with that focus on housing, but also with the clear desire to help the people in greatest need, how to do that in a way that fits in beautifully in a neighborhood.
You know, because, you know, we all know that everybody wants to help the homeless. They just don't want the homeless in their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, you know, not in my backyard mm-hmm. is always kind of. So the location for Providence Place over on Apollo. So it's, you know, I mean, there's businesses in the area. Of course, you got a high school not too far mm-hmm. away. And of course you got the hospital not far away. So it is a central location, which is probably, we talked a little bit about the importance of location in the last half hour a little bit, but so some of these models, so you've seen a variety of them. What about, this whole idea of the mobile approach?
Mm-hmm,
Have
mm-hmm.
you seen that work well in other communities? Mm-hmm. Have you gotten any experience mm-hmm. of that?
So first, to address the not in my backyard concerns, we've heard those. I've been to many city council meetings
right.
recently
yep.
and heard those concerns expressed by our future neighbors. And I'll tell you what, I do not dismiss them. I really respect those genuine concerns of somebody who drives by Daily Bread in the middle of the day and sees people who are homeless walking to our location to receive a meal or a shower to talk to one of our caseworkers. People are afraid that that's what we would be bringing to Apollo.
Mm.
So to emphasize again, our presence on Apollo Boulevard at Providence Place will be a housing development. For people who are coming out of homelessness, but they aren't going to be homeless anymore. They're going to have a home.
Mm.
And no services at that place will be offered for people currently experiencing homelessness. So that means we will have a seamless presence in the community. As we've talked with our architects in the midst of the design, I bring up security a lot. I know security is going to be a concern for people living there,
mm-hmm.
certainly for our neighbors as well, but mm-hmm. first and foremost for people living there. They
sure.
want a secure environment. So we will have one secure entrance. We will know everybody who's there and why they're there, with key fob entrance and cameras and all that kind of thing. Security is a huge emphasis. And we will be diligent to make sure that we're not an adverse presence in the community. And really, what people are concerned about are people loitering, hanging, or sleeping nearby who are homeless. But if we're not offering services to people that are homeless, there'll be no reason
for them
to do that. It just won't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very confident of that.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, what would, you said 119 units. Mm-hmm. Are these like one-bedroom apartments? Are they like... do they have like a little kitchenette? I mean, what? Mm-hmm. Just give our listeners a sense of what each of these... apartments would look like.
Mm-hmm. So they're mostly one bedroom, but we will have some two bedrooms as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're small units, so one bedroom is 400 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's small, but it'll have everything you need, including a kitchen, its own bathroom, and a living space. So we've learned for people coming out of homelessness, having too big of a space can be overwhelming.
Yes.
So we'll have small units, but mm-hmm. then rich... community spaces, common areas
mm-hmm.
where people can enjoy some time together.
Mm-hmm.
So having that combination will be helpful. You mentioned families earlier, and we want this to be a family-friendly housing development too. I was talking to one person who's coming to Daily Bread now and about Providence Place, and he said it would be great for him to stabilize there because then maybe he could have joint custody with his children,
mm-hmm.
and his children could live there when he has them for custody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be, I remember living in a studio apartment, you know, and actually enjoying it as a single guy, you know, I mean, it was fine for me. But, 400 square feet would seem, that's reasonable, mm-hmm. you know, in a place. Now, will there be a responsibility for each of the residents to contribute something toward their housing, or how will that work?
Absolutely. So some people hear about this project and they think shelter. Mm-hmm. Like maybe people would live there for 30 days or so, or just for a night or something like that. No. To say it's a housing development, part of that means that everybody who's living there will have a long-term lease. Mm-hmm. And so there'll be responsibilities in that lease, including whatever their rent would be. Maybe it's subsidized, but they would be making a contribution. An example would be so that person who gets $900 a month from Social Security disability, maybe they get a rental subsidy through the housing authority. Mm-hmm. And then their rent would be based on their income, 30%. So they'd give $300 a month towards their income. And that will be a fair way to do it, but also a way to make sure people have buy-in.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And that they would keep their place up and maintain it or what have you, you know, reasonably well. Jeff, what about the funding? How has that, been a challenge for you? Because, you know, as you think about a four-story building, you're not talking about a $100,000 domicile here, mm-hmm. you know. How are you approaching the whole idea of funding here mm-hmm. for this effort?
So we're being creative in the funding as well as in the initiative itself. And again, our community has stepped forward in really tremendous ways. We have a wonderful partnership with a local foundation called the Steadytown Foundation. Mm. Keith and Carrie Donald are important partners of ours. They acquired the property itself, and we're partnering with them. We've been working with them for a long time. So they're major investors in the project. We also have other foundations that are stepping forward to help us in that. The $3 million from the city is a great way for us to step forward. We have our own capital campaign ongoing from Daily Bread, looking to raise $6 million. Mm-hmm. I think I can say we're about halfway there right now.
Wow.
So we're really making progress and making headway.
Are the local banks helpful at all as far as some funding or, you know, I don't know, you've got to probably have some loans of some kind eventually.
Yeah, that's right. So we expect to have perhaps a construction loan or a bridge loan at some point, and we may need to involve some of the banks. It's also possible that those loans might come in something called impact investment with foundations. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at some creative options and hope to figure that all out this summer. But we've been approached by several banks and we've talked to several banks. There really are some initiatives to provide some funding at low interest rates to address this need. Everybody knows that we have a very critical need in affordable housing. And different organizations, different levels of government are trying to open up some floodgates to allow that to be addressed.
Well, I think the fact that you have such a track record, 37 years, it's not like you opened last month and now you're looking for something from the community to come together to help support. You know, you have 37 years that you've been ministering literally to the homeless in our community. And now that you're making this very bold move to go forward and experience this transformation, that the community sees, you know, the consistency, and they're deciding that, yet we have a problem, and you know what, we're going to come together, and we're going to make something happen here. It really seems like a great step forward, Jeff. There's no doubt about it. What about, I'm sure that there will be construction companies that will be bidding on this effort, and you'll probably get good cooperation from them also because they're investing in the community also.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very, very important for sure. When you look at these mobile units, you know, I'm trying to envision what this kind of looks like. So it'd be like food trucks, or you talked about these portable shower units or what have you. And is your current staff going to be involved with that part of the effort, or are you going to have to bring in other people, volunteers? How's that going to mm-hmm. work as you envision it?
Yeah, current staff and volunteers. And what it looks like is we come to a church parking lot. I just met with a church this morning that's interesting in partnering with us. And I said, all we need is a parking lot and a water hookup. Mm-hmm. And then we can come with our partners from Streetside Showers. That's another independent nonprofit. We've been working with them for a long time.
Oh, they're independent mm-hmm. of you guys.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And John Adams is their local representative, and they pull up with their mobile showers and then another truck that's their mobile closet, Streetside closet, and they sign people up for showers and people help out. There are volunteers there, many of whom are homeless themselves, really everybody chipping in on the effort to make sure the showers are clean and ready for the next person. Mm-hmm. And then the meal will also be a part of it, and whether it's a community meal in the parish hall of a church, or we'll pull up in our food truck trailer and offer a meal there. And really both of those ways of establishing for basic needs is to make sure people who are homeless know that our community cares, that we can be trusted, that we want to meet them where they are. Because then the most important aspect is our professional case managers that can talk to them about overcoming their homeless situation. Let's keep moving forward. We don't want to just meet basic needs. We want to be making that forward progress.
So the case managers will be accompanying the food truck and mm-hmm. the mobile showers or mm-hmm. what have you, be available right on site to meet with people.
That's right.
Yeah,
yep.
That seems like a great model.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. I've seen places around the country where they have these amazing structures that they put together like in like a day or something, and they're portable structures, but they're standalone housing. Have you seen these? I've seen these on YouTube or what have mm-hmm. you. In different places out west, they found, you know, a large acreage or whatever, and they put these things up relatively inexpensive, but they need quite a bit of space, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know. But that's been providing. So there's lots of really kind of unique approaches to the subject of homelessness, but Providence Place sounds like, Jeff, how long has this been in the works? Have you been thinking about this for a fairly long period of time?
We have, and it's certainly been a journey. So a couple of years ago, we began this process. A year and a half ago, the city of Melbourne voted to grant the $3 million. We looked at one location, had some concerns come up as we did our due diligence and looked at another location. And so last fall, we acquired this property in Apollo. And now that we have the land to build on, now we can really move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems as if, and I think our listeners would really, as they're listening to you, I think appreciating the new approach that you're going to have to this continuing problem. And, you know, it appears to me like this could be very, very successful. Going back to the mobile units, is this going to be like 5 days a week? I mean, what do you envision for that?
Right now we have 3 days lined up, and I expect it'll be
grow.
Five. I expect it'll grow. Churches are reaching out to us, and it's been very – when I spoke to this church this morning, spoke to two ladies who are just happy for us to come. One said she's been wondering how they could get those mobile showers there.
Oh,
and
wow.
Not to have to reinvent the wheel, but that will
yes.
come with them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I have to say something about our community. I mean, we talk about the whole country facing this challenge. And ideas like Providence Place are coming up in various locations. And it's very easy, in almost a knee-jerk reaction, for a community to say no.
Yeah.
The not in my backyard and all other
yes.
kinds of reasons
yeah.
where people just say no.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of our community that we have said, yes,
yeah.
we will do this. We will provide something more impactful for people coming out of homelessness.
Well, I think the wisdom of it is your whole concept of having a permanent place. This is not just something, like you said, where people come and they spend a night or 30 days or whatever the case may be, and you constantly have people loitering, going in and out. You have these security issues. This really eliminates all of that and provides something certainly much more stable There's absolutely no doubt about that. Now, the location is good because transportation is fairly available in that area. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
That's right. We'll have a bus stop right outside our door. We'll have a nice bicycle program with bikes that our residents can use all the time, and we'll fix them up as needed in a little repair shop there. So that's how our folks travel. We'll have fewer parking spaces than your average housing development because most of our folks won't come with cars or have that desire to get a car. Right. So that kind of that site is very helpful for that. It's close to the hospital and other medical resources, Brevard Health Alliance Clinic. So we're very happy with that location.
Mm-hmm. And being central like that, they can get out into the community if they find employment somewhere. It's pretty centrally located.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have employers in the area that you've worked with in the past that have been very helpful in bringing these people along and helping them create some kind of meaningful career?
We have. We've had those relationships in the past, but also many more who have talked to us about what we can do in the future. Mm-hmm. When somebody has that place, when they have that stability, come talk to us. We'd love to bring you in. Even some of the high-tech operations in our community would be very happy to have our workers come in at entry-level positions and work there once their housing situation is stabilized.
I think what most people have little appreciation for is some of these homeless people, they have tremendous skills. You know, maybe they've not kind of honed them and kind of, you know, grown them over time, but a lot of these people are very, very talented in the various things that they can do if they are just given a chance.
That's right. When you work at a place like Daily Bread, you realize very quickly that these people are just like you and me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my first day coming to Daily Bread, and I saw Bridget. Do you remember Bridget? She came and talked to me with you one time.
Yes, I remember.
I was thinking about her this morning when I walked up to the door at Daily Bread, and she asked me my first day, "What are you?" Mm. Not who are you, but what are you?
What are you?
And I stopped and thought for a second and said, "I'm a child of God. What are you?"
Mm.
And she had a big smile on her face and said, "Oh, good, I am too." So that reality, it's a reality. It's not a kind of a thought process. It's the reality of who we are.
Yes.
And it's something beyond there, but for the grace of God go I. It's that we're in this together mm-hmm. as children of God. Mm-hmm. And that profound reality that Jesus says, whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me.
Mm-hmm.
His presence in that person facing the challenges of poverty, of homelessness, of hunger, you know, those encounters are what make Daily Bread such a special place.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm so grateful that we found a way to transform while still making sure that these encounters will continue to happen, hopefully in a much more fruitful way.
Mm-hmm. And for you, Jeff, you know, every day, you know, you have to take your responsibility because you all the problems ultimately come to you. You have to retain that vision that every person that darkens the door of Daily Bread is a person made in the image and likeness of God. You constantly have to remind yourself of that. And it's obvious that you've been able to do that over time. We only got a couple of minutes left. Tell us a little bit about any of future fundraising or any events that may allow our listeners to kind of help you accomplish this project.
We have a wonderful event coming up, our chili cook-off. We had our first one last year, and it was a lot of fun. Raised money too, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yep.
So Sunday, April 6th, 3 to 6 p.m. at Front Street Park. We hope people can join us.
Sunday, April 6th. Well, Jeff, I want to really thank you for joining me today, and again, how can people get in touch with you, or another way that people can get in touch with Daily Bread?
Yeah, we want people to keep informed.
Okay.
Find us at dailybreadinc.org.
Dailybreadinc.org, and you can find out about more about the fundraising efforts, and hopefully that our listeners will participate in supporting this effort. Jeff, thank you so much. Thank you for being such a important member of the community in helping the less fortunate. I know that God will bless you in all that you do.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Thank you, Jeff, for joining us today. And thank you for listening to Divine Mercy Radio, Melbourne, Vero Beach.